Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Hi, I'm Cindy Barclay, your host, CEO and founder of Quality Dialysis. Welcome back to KIWK, a forum to discuss important topics for historically suppressed voices within communities of color.
Hi, I'm BJ, and I have 20 years of experience in social research. I believe that through education and advocacy, we can change lives.
Hi, guys. I'm Rita. I'm a master social worker. I've been in renal dialysis for over 15 years, and I like helping people live their best lives.
Hello, I am Maria. I am a passionate registered nurse with over 10 years of experience in the kidney game. What are we talking about today, y'all?
Is fat the new sexy? Today's topic of discussion is not directed towards body shaming, but rather to consider the existing facts about obesity and the risk factors that contribute to the perpetual demise of equitable health care, healthy hearts, healthy minds in people of color. So, BJ, what is the word on the street?
Well, Cindy, we have something very special for our audience today. We asked Dr. Mary Washington, aka Rapper AD, to do our word on the street. And guys, she did it in a way that only she could. So let's listen.
Hey, Kiwi team.
So we were asked to make this video by the Kiwi team, Kicking It with Kidneys team, about is fat the new sex? Let's find out. Well, the deal is that unfortunately it is so high in the African-American population.
If in doubt with large breasts, drop down, give me 10, strengthen your pecs. Not a six pack, but a Tootsie Roll.
It's just not healthy, all that fat's gotta go.
It's too much fat, 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 fat.
It's too much
fat, 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 fat.
It's just not healthy. A sexy body is a healthy one. With strength that lasts, you can beat out anyone. Your natural beauty from the food you eat. Don't forget your rest and your water to drink.
When your assets are not cash, need to work those glutes to the max max. Just so unbelievable.
It's just not healthy, it's too much fat.
Fit and fat, no such combo.
Out of breath, can't dance the mambo. Increase your risk of cancer.
Higher strokes, heart attacks, death from COVID, renal failure.
A sexy body. It's a healthy one. With strength that lasts, you can beat out anyone. Your natural beauty from the food you eat. Don't forget your rest and your water to drink.
A sexy body
is a healthy one. With strength that lasts, you can beat out anyone.
Your natural beauty from the food you eat.
It's not healthy. It's too much fat.
Go, Dr. Washington.
Go. Well, I don't know if fat is the new sexy because the terminology is subjective. But let me read you a few statistics. Okay. It says here, according to CDC, 41.9, which is really 42% of all Americans are obese. That translates into approximately 139 million Americans. All right. So when you're looking at healthcare expenditures to the tune of $4.1 trillion, we got a problem. Our guest today is no stranger to KIWK. Tony Jones is the CEO, founder of Mo City Fitness in Missouri City, Texas. He is a fitness instructor, a community leader, and an expert in the subject matter. Now, I feel confident that Tony can help us make sense of it all. Here are the obesity numbers by race in the U.S. Whites, 30%. Native Americans and Pacific Islanders, 37.1%. Hispanics, 35.9%. African Americans, 42.4%. Now, why are these numbers important? Well, because government entities, who are the primary caregivers for the aged, underserved, impoverished, which have the highest rate in obesity, by the way, okay, are experiencing major budget deficits. So, Maria, what is the difference between overweight and obesity?
So we should always make sure that we know how much we're supposed to weigh and how much our weight does increase or decrease our chance, you know, for optimal health, you know, putting you in the line of fire for cardiac disease, diabetes, cancers, hypertension, stroke, even depression because of body weight. A lot of people don't think about that as well. So you want to measure your BMI, which is your body mass index. It's a screening tool that's used to determine if you're overweight or if you're obese. So this chart right here basically shows you what your BMI should be and how it increases your obesity as you increase your BMI number. Again, BMI is your body mass index. So the higher your body mass index is, the higher level of obesity that you are. So we see normal weight is anywhere between 18.5 and 24.9. You're considered overweight if you're between 25 and about 30. Then 30 to 35 and up is obesity, class 1 being 30 to 35, class 2 being 35 to 40, and then finally class 3 being 40 to 50. As you can imagine, as you see in the charts here, overweight, you're going to get predisposed for chronic conditions. Another way to look at determining your body size is to use the old school Ray Charles method of feeling your wrist. Okay?
Y'all remember that movie? Y'all remember the movie, right? I don't think Ray kind of liked chubby girls, so he would. Okay.
But doing that, if your fingers overlap on your wrist, you're considered small frame. If your fingertips touch when you're grasping your wrist, that is medium frame. And if there's a gap and they don't touch at all, then you're considered large frame. What y'all got?
I'm squeezing my wrist.
Okay. I'm going to say that I'm squeezing mine too, because you know what I heard is that if you have a large frame, you could eat more. So I'm going to be the large
frame. Oh, it's not true. I'm going with a large frame, but it's crossing over.
So well, anyway, we've got Tony here.
Ray was right.
We've got Tony here, and we want to bring him in to our Kicking It with Kidneys team to kind of go over what is the most correct way to measure and calculate your actual body weight. Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
I'm taking notes, Tony.
Okay, good. I got some good information for you.
Okay. All right. So tell us.
I heard you guys prior to me entering the screen. I'm totally against the BMI chart because it's a European method. So here in America, what we use is it's called a TBW, total body water calculator. You can use a Stenfold caliper, or when we do hydrostatics, when you go to a pool and they measure your body mass in the water. All of them I use as a guide. None of them have to be 100% correct. But you do have to have some. You do have to have a starting point, and then you look at the progress.
Well, is there an average for that? I mean, you know how we do averages. We like to say that there's an average for this thing, and there's an average for that thing. So, is there an average for body weight? I mean, how do we know what we should weigh? I mean, help me out here, because I think I came by your gym the other day, and didn't you tell me that I was on the overweight side?
No, but we do have governing bodies, and for men, average is around 20%. You become overweight at 25%, 30% class 1 obesity, 35 obesity, 40% morbid. With the women, it starts out at 25%, then it goes up every 5%. That's the governing body that uses that as a guide. So hypothetically, if you take two men, and they're both 5'11", 200 pounds. One is 40% body fat, and then one is 10% body fat. The weight are the same, but the composition is totally different. One is gonna probably wear a size 34, and the other one's probably gonna wear a size 42. 1 pound of fat take up the same amount of space as 4 pounds of muscle.
So that means that you and I could wear the same weight. I can just have all this water tissue and your solid mass, and we could weigh the same amount.
One of us will be considered healthy, and one of us would not.
Well, Tony, there's a trend that's going on now, and you know, I believe that everything is centered around money. I really do. When I was growing up, you know, if you were a size 18, you couldn't find anything in the stores. You know, now size 26, you know, they can have the same dress that I'm wearing as a size 26, and it's available to them. It may not look the same. What's behind all of this, and why are we so gullible? You know, why are we falling into this pattern that basically any size, and then if you say anything, they say it's fat shaming, but we're looking at it from a medical perspective.
Medically, it's just not healthy. And we should always look at the perspective from a medical standpoint. Especially in America, we shouldn't ever get to the point where we tell a woman to look like a certain way, because we all built different. So we should look at it from the perspective as medically, hey, is this healthy? How do I feel? And the problem is when we start to accept everything, and when you do speak up against things that are not, then we get this backlash, and then we tend to just shut down and be quiet about it. Now, certain things in life, if you talk about gang or you talk about bullying, it's okay. Or even if you talk about gay rights, it's not okay. So we pick and choose what we want to talk about in America, where we going to get the backlash from. If it's just not right, it's just not right. Medically, we didn't make the rules. We just have to follow the rules. Medically, it says and it shows based on statistics, if there's a certain amount of body fat, you are at risk or you have this. And we just follow the guide. We didn't make it.
Like Tony says, even if I'm comfortable in my body, and I mean, I have high self-esteem and all that, but I know down deep inside that I am at risk for high blood pressure. I am at risk for diabetes. It runs in my family. So that is my personal choice. Like Tony says, if I want to make a difference and I want to make a change in my life, it's not overnight, of course, and it's going to be a progression, but it has to settle in me that it's for my health. It's not for what I look to you guys like. It's not for anybody, but for myself, because I think I'm an attractive woman. I'm a bigger size woman, but my self-esteem is great on the outside, but inside, you guys really don't know exactly what I'm feeling. You know, you don't know the terrors that I might have of getting cancer or getting high blood pressure, because it is terrorizing. It terrorizes me because I've seen what that can do to our patients.
So, Rita, are you saying that being overweight or obese, being fat, okay, because I think they kind of mean both, it's extra.
Right, extra. We have extra weight on us.
So are you saying that it has nothing to do that yourself, that you can be skinny and have a bad, small set.
I mean, I could lose this weight. I mean, if I really set my mind to it, I could lose this weight. May not be the healthiest way. It may not be any way Tony has told me to do it, by exercising and eating well. I could starve myself and I'm still not going to be happy. And I'm still definitely not going to be healthy.
This is one of the misconceptions. We should never, ever lose weight. You should only work on losing fat.
Okay.
Because sometimes when you lose weight, you're losing water. Your body needs water.
That's right.
Your body you loses muscle. Your body needs the muscles, because that's where movement comes from. Right. So we have to start teaching correctly and being politically correct by saying, hey, we need to drop fat. We don't need to lose weight. Drop fat. Remember what I just told you prior to this was 1 pound of fat is the same size as 4 pounds of muscle. So if you lose 5 pounds of fat, you can replace it with 20 pounds of muscle and be the exact same weight.
I think that's good. But, you know, something that you said, Tony, but I think what we are witnessing is that there is this shift in agreement or consensus on what's sexy and what's attractive. And like you said, there's a body positivity movement, which really works well with a lot of other groups that are advocating this inclusivity. But the work is where we're not stigmatizing people because they don't fit this standardized image. And I love what you said about losing fat and not losing weight. People do get that kind of confused. And again, just to kind of piggyback on what you say, even though there is this shift to kind of say you should, no matter what you look like, we shouldn't stigmatize you or we shouldn't outcast you because you're not a 1950s, 1960s, 1970s image of beauty. But the goal has always got to be healthy and to have wellness.
And one of the things I can add to that, we know it's a problem because let's use women. They're buying creams for skin. They're buying all these injections. So it is a problem. And guess what? The one thing that corrects all that? Weightlifting. If you want to tighten your skin up, weightlift.
So you're saying that when these, so that's extra fat that the doctors are actually putting in the gluteus. Because I see these women now with the small little waistlines, and then they got all that. So that's fat that they're putting back there?
They're just injecting it for a shape. It's all about
a look.
It's not healthier. It's not healthier at all. It's
but
just
don't you
not.
Think men find that attractive, Tony?
Hey, I can't speak for all men. Me, I think I think it's absurd. I think they look funny, personally.
Well, it doesn't look natural sometimes.
It,
I mean, if
it
you
doesn't
are
look
born
natural.
With a
it
voluptuous body, it's natural, and the curves sit in the right places. But going back to loving ourselves and really talking about it is, why do we have to meet the standard of beauty that everybody has? You know what I mean? We're not. We're all individuals. And if at this size, I'm beautiful and I feel beautiful, but going back to health always, you know, working on that, like you said, not losing weight, Tony. Now I have to use a correct terminology. You said losing fat, right?
Right. Correct.
And that's part of education as well, because I know I've heard this before. You've told me this before, but I still use the wrong verbiage. So it's going to take us a little bit of having this information out there. I mean, we've been fighting obesity for years.
I don't even think we're fighting it. We're just accepting it. Because if you fight something,
exactly,
you can win.
Exactly.
Because fat is a substance. You can lose that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
And God designed the body to move, not to sit around.
Let me ask you a question, because this, I think, really hits the heart of it. You know, our show really does target cultural issues. And I grew up in an era where I was kind of informed that particularly Black men loved women who were a little bit heavy. You know, I used to hear this, I don't want no bone. The only person who wants a bone is a dog. So I think we're kind of swinging over to this side where when we look at the images, and we are influenced by those images. It's great if you'd like to say we all just have this self-esteem, but we're influenced by the images we see in the media. And there appears to be this push where bigger, more rotund women are becoming a standard.
But you know where that comes from?
What?
If I tell you something 1,000 times, you'll start to believe it.
Yes.
It doesn't make it true.
Right.
So this is what the media does. This is what the internet says, and this is what the TV says. So you can't be influenced by it. If you hear it over and over, it starts to become normal.
Meanwhile, chronic illness rates are going up because of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And guess who's benefiting? The pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So I guess with children, we have a problem with kids, because I believe what I've seen is this. Where I see mom is a little heavy and dad's a little heavy, I see all the little kids that are heavy as well, you know? And when you talk to these kids or these parents, everybody has an iPad, nobody's doing physical activity. How do we break that, the generational curses? How do we break that cycle, you know? Because this is what's going on. And even in school, I mean, it's accepted.
Well, there's several things that contributes to that. A lot of parents are overworked. So they put these iPads for the kids to give themselves time to themselves, which is not good. And the other thing is, especially with the minority population, we only teach our kids to work out if they play a sport. The parents are to blame, because this is a training. You're training your kids. If you're not playing sports, you don't have to exercise. Now you have all these kids not exercising, they can't make a team. So they're sitting home on the iPad. When the body is sedentary, guess what? You're going to gain weight, even as a child. And also, the parents are feeding these kids things they know is not healthy.
Yeah. Tony, I was watching this special on HBO, and I thought it was a current thing. It wasn't. It was an HBO special from 2012, and it was talking about children and obesity. And one of the things it said was that marketing to these children, by the time they're 3 or 4, they know what cereal they want. They know what fast food they're going to eat. And that's what they dictate to these parents. And that's what these parents buy.
Yeah, you put them on theme songs and colors.
Oh,
and and you have the kids. You put a lot of color in front of a kid and a theme song where they got a little bit, they're going to buy it.
Oh yeah, because you know everybody knows whatever McDonald's little theme or what was the one that I was looking at? It was a theme song for the thing, and the kids were just singing along, and Mama was just pouring that cereal. You know, how much sugar is in that cereal? But one of the mothers also went grocery shopping, part of this documentary, and they went through her basket, and they asked her, you know, do you think the food you shop for is healthy? And she says, well, yes, because I make homemade food at home for my children. We eat homemade food. Well, the nutritionist went through it, and 90% of it was ready to make stuff. Ready. Like we would warm up, I don't know, pot pies or whatever. And she was like, but those are, I'm making them at home. And I'm like, oh, Lord, we got to go back to educating Mama and Daddy because, you know, if they don't know, what's going on?
Let me help you with this.
Yes.
I did an experiment one day. If I walk into an office right now with a box of glazed donuts, it looks really, really good. Majority of the people are going to eat it. But if I take those same ingredients and put them in a bag, not one individual will eat it. I've done this before. I took a glazed donut and passed it out to a group of people. Then I came right back and I had all the ingredients in separate bags. I had a bag of fat. I had a bag of grease, I had a bag of sugar, I had a bag of flour, and a bag of cinnamon, and I gave each bag out to an individual. I said, eat this. They all said no. So with the eye, when you make something look glamorous, you're going to do it. Because we're so superficial. When we become to the point where we're not superficial, then we can look past that and we can make the right choices. Until then, we're going to have this epidemic.
Yeah, that's true, because those McDonald's burgers on the commercial, that's not what McDonald's burgers really look like. Not that McDonald's is my place, but I'm just saying.
Don't you think it's a matter of how do we get people to make the right choices? I know it's difficult for me because I like sugar, okay? How do we get people programmed to make the right choices? I think if we can start in schools, you know, when they're young, okay? How do we do that? Because these kids have to go home to their parents.
Okay? We have to start.
Learn behavior.
We do have to start at home and then with the schools. And it comes with, like she said, go back to it comes to teaching and educating. If you don't teach and educate, they're not going to follow it. We have to start teaching. And the biggest thing, we got to start holding everybody accountable. We can't be afraid to speak up for what is right. If you have a five-year-old kid and a kid weighs 100 pounds, that's poor parenting.
But, you know, you have the extremes. You have, if you look on television most of the time, now they're being inclusive to what they've got, the larger girls. You know, with the everything on and everything out, okay? But traditionally, we have these nice, thin, not even curvy, women on television, you know? And psychologically, in many countries, they believe that this is how we're supposed to look, you know? But now what I'm seeing is that they're getting the waist tucked, the butt lift out, okay? And this is white girls. They're all doing it, you know? But it's still.
Well, it's not just the white girls, it's all the girls.
I know my Latina girls, like them BBLs, I think they call them.
Yeah.
But Ms. Barker, you said in the beginning of the show, it's about the money. The people with all the money controls what you follow in the world. If they have all the money, if they want to put all these models on TV, and that's all you see on TV, then guess what? If I want to be on TV, I need to look like that.
Because those are the standards of beauty.
But we have to educate each other and say, hey, it's not me worth being on TV. So I have to look like that. Every woman can't look like that. We come with pre-genetic disposition before
that's
we're
right,
born.
Tony, you're hitting a lot of those contributing factors that we had been talking about, which was the genetic factors, the environmental factors. You know, in the inner city or in smaller towns or whatever, we're not seeing those big grocery stores that sell all this healthy food. I mean, I haven't seen many commercials for broccoli or anything, and the kids are jumping up and down for broccoli and carrots.
And think about this. We can also blame the government. You take the government who give government assistance.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't you have a label on some of the things they could buy out of a store? You know this is unhealthy. They're the biggest contributor to our epidemic.
The advertisement really runs the food chain. If you're advertising all this and people are requesting and requiring all this, of course that's what the food chain is going to look like.
I'm talking about if you're on government assistance, we could start there. Because we have millions on it. And it's not,
especially now.
It's not to degrade them, but as a society, and you're the government, which is a governing body. You can say, okay, this is the kind of meat that you have to buy for your kids. These are the type of cereal that you can buy for your kid. This is the type of milk that you buy for your kid. If you're on government assistance, you can't buy this. You're not eligible for this. We can do that, and you're going to curb obesity probably about 20%. Just
well, Tony, that's not going to happen because you're messing with people's freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what are some realistic moves that we can make? Because you want the government to cut out sugar for people that don't have money.
You didn't say that, Maria. Now, get off of me.
He said you can't buy X, Y, and Z.
You have a choice. Tell it, Tony.
Yeah, you do have a choice because you have a choice not to be on it and get the assistance.
But we need to be.
Unless you really need it.
Like we said, we need to educate our parents, or how are we going to do that? I mean, I know that I've seen some education in the schools. I was reading another documentary, and that's what they started doing was, you know, when they were making breakfast and I think it was a Head Start. They did it where they eat like a family style, and they were teaching the children about that, you know, all the food that they should have, but they were bringing the parents in as well.
You could take whole milk, get some 2% milk, start there.
I think WIC does that already. It tells you what you can kind of purchase under WIC, and it gives you the options. This cereal is a little bit better. This milk is a little bit better because they, you know, they're weighing and doing their growth charts and stuff like that on those children that do receive that service.
That sugar is very addicting.
Oh, yeah.
So, Tony, I've calculated my BMI. Uh-oh. I'm probably in the obese 1 to 2 category. I live a very sedentary lifestyle and haven't picked up a weight since high school. What is 1 to 2 things that you can give that type of person about moving their body and making their next meal a better food choice?
Well, you definitely want to start with getting up, moving around. If you're sedentary, I would tell people all the time, just get up and walk, take short walks. And every time you walk, you get stronger and stronger. You can walk further and you can walk faster. Now it increases the metabolic rate. Now you're starting to fight against what you're dealing with right there. And then when you have a food choice, I always tell people, if you could eat something and immediately after you finish and you feel sleepy, it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. But food is made for energy. It's not made for you to go to sleep. You eat to live itis. And not live to eat.
So we gotta watch the itis.
Gotta watch the itis.
Tony, let me ask you. So when you're saying foods, and you know, we know that the weight loss industry is making millions of dollars. Millions. So the counting of the calories and, you know, is that a good way or not a good way?
It's not realistic for most people. Okay. So what we do, we teach them, hey, your portion size should fit in the palm of your hand. It's okay to eat more often. But what you don't want to do is overeat where you can't eat later. Because now your body is not going to process all that through its digestion phase, and everything that's left over is stored as fat. So I tell everybody, hey, get you a good protein, get you a good complex carbohydrate, and get you a good vegetable. Make it the portion size to fit in the size of your hand. And the other way to gauge is, hey, if you get hungry within 3 hours, that means the meal was probably balanced and healthy. So your body utilized it. If you get hungry 4, 5, 6 hours later, then the meal was not balanced, or was it high in fat, or was it high in sugar, because it's going to suppress the appetite.
That's easy to remember. I like that.
And that's how you deal with the general public.
Is it better to have, it's better to have the smaller meal, like you have breakfast, a little mid-morning, lunch, mid-afternoon, dinner, and then, you know, nothing.
Yeah, that's
small piece of.
That's the best way to do it because it increases your metabolic rate.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Great. Well, we gotta have you back on the show, but just one thing before we sign off here. You mentioned to me that rich people exercise. Now, can you explain that a little bit as we wrap this up?
So what I meant by that was, when you have money, health is a part of wealth. That's how they associate their wealth, is through being healthy. So typically, people who make a lot of money, they're not always obese. those they serve as actually the smaller population when it comes to overweight.
Is it because they have money, Tony, or they have places to exercise like parks and stuff? And folks like us in the inner city may not have all that luxury.
It's just a sign. When you look good, it's a sign of wealth to them, to those who have money. Look at Ms. Barkley.
No, you didn't. Okay, you know what, Tony? How do we get in touch with you? Okay, I want you to tell our viewers how to contact you, okay?
You can go to our website. It's mocityfitness.com, or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at Mo City Fitness and Sports.
Okay, well, we appreciate you being here with us today. It was a great show, and we're going to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Are you coming back?
I got to see what this check looked like first.
Little.
Thank you. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I said it's not very big, Tony.
What's the possibility I won't be returning then?
Tony, you're coming back just for the mistreatment.
I'm gonna come back to see you guys as individuals because y'all are beautiful women. But on the show, I'm gonna have to get paid.
Well, thank you. Thank our listeners for joining us again, and we look forward to seeing you on our next episode.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week. The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.